Homily 51, the Lord's Prayer. This is how you ought to pray. Many of the early fathers of the church called the Lord's Prayer a summary of the Gospels. The Pharisees, the Essenes, John the Baptist, other individual Jewish religious groups were marked by their own prayers, customs, and forms. Jesus here teaches his disciples how to pray. In this context, the Lord's Prayer is not that of an individual, but of a community. Although a favored Christian prayer, Jesus is hardly teaching that this is the only approach to prayer. He prayed in his own way throughout the night, in the desert, in the garden, often silently, often using the Jewish beloved Psalms, sometimes expressing his feelings in his own words. The Apostle Paul instructs us to pray always. Do you pray? How do you pray? Previously, Jesus had cautioned his disciples against babbling like pagans, thinking that they would be heard because of the many complicated magical words. Note that the Lord's Prayer is a thoroughly Jewish prayer. You can find all the phrases in the Jewish world prior to Jesus. Even today, a pious Jew could pray the Our Father, and I know one who prayed with me when he was severely injured in an automobile accident. This deeply meaningful prayer is set within our calling God Father, as Jesus did throughout the Sermon on the Mount. This Father is no man-made idol, because the Creator longs to see his sovereign and saving rule, his kingdom, come to become fully present on earth. Not for God's people to be snatched away from the earth to heaven, but for the glory and beauty of heaven to be turned into earthly reality as well. This prayer reminds us of the prophet Ezekiel's prophecy that there would come a time when God's holy name would be praised and not abused by invading armies. The Jews took seriously the identity between a person and his name. The next part of the prayer echoes God feeding his people in the desert, and now Jesus giving us his body and blood as food. Moreover, we must pray for the good of the entire world where millions starve daily. We pray for forgiveness with the realization that to be forgiven one's fault and sins is an indescribable gift. How difficult it is to forgive. Jesus also teaches of a time of testing, as he would be tested during his passion. If we follow a crucified Messiah, we too should not expect to be spared periods of darkness. Finally, we pray to be delivered from evil, both in the abstract and in its personified form, the evil one himself. I wish now to say something briefly about prayer and aging. Karl Rahner made much of the fact that Jesus died young. He was spared the trials and tribulations associated with old age. Rahner wrote that old age is a vocation. It's not given to everyone. When Jesuits are sent to retirement homes, they are missioned to pray for the Society of Jesus. His recommendation in getting old, keep thinking, right? Keep praying. I know French, and a few of the African Jesuits here became upset when I called them jeune chien, or young dog. To be called a dog in Africa is an insult. Jesus told the Syrophoenician woman that one does not throw bread to the dogs, one of Jesus' harshest statements. I told the Africans that here in the United States, the term dog can be one of affection. And from then on, they call me vieux chien, old dog. I like that. I was amused during a novitiate when an elderly Jesuit giving us a retreat said that he often fell asleep during prayer like an old dog at his master's feet. Some of the overly zealous novices were shocked. Pope Francis gave a long interview in which he discussed his prayer life and confessed that he often fell asleep during prayer. True love allows the loved one to fall asleep in his or her presence. I've always liked what the Curia of Ars said about prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. I look at Jesus, and Jesus looks at me. The scriptures say, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." My answer to my superior's question about my prayer did not amuse him. I said, "I show up. Moreover, after all these years, I sometimes say to Christ, 'Okay, I've been doing all the work all these years, now it's your turn.'" Saying this to older nuns in a homily one morning amused them. I know I hit the spot. They know that prayer can be hard work. Karl Rahner wrote about prayer as the fundamental act of human existence. It is the profoundest symbol that we are created and loved by God. To be able to say thou to God is a precious gift. To be able to address God's Father as Abba, beloved Father, is also a great grace. Teresa of Avila defined prayer as intimate conversation with the one we love. Rahner also wrote that prayer is the last moment of speech before the silence, the act of self-disposal just before the incomprehensible God disposes of one, the act of letting oneself fall after the last of one's own efforts into the infinite fullness and silence that reflection can never grasp. When challenged by an interviewer because of his great faith despite the horrors of Nazism, Rahner said, "I believe because I pray. I also believe that despite the horrors of Nazism, some concentration camp inmates went to their deaths praying." When you pray, do you pray to the Father as Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who raised Jesus from the dead? Do you pray to the Son as Son, to the Holy Spirit as Holy Spirit? Do you pray not to an abstract Jesus, but to Jesus crucified and risen, the Christ who was in the womb, born, a child, a teenager, and a young man? His entire past was taken up into his risen life, just as our past lives live in us now. This is how you ought to pray.